Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Parenting with Sisu. This time we are talking about korvapuustis in the oven. The episode is dedicated to the introduction of this kind of an epicenter of parenthood in Finland called Neuvola. And we will also talk about everything you should consider when you find out that you're pregnant in Finland.
So where do you call when you find out you're pregnant?
Well, there is this thing in Finland called Neuvola. It's the maternity and child health clinic. And if you're covered by Kela, the public social institution, insurance institution, that way, you can call your district's Neuvola. And you can find the number, for example, when you Google Neuvola Helsinki, Neuvola Tampere, or wherever you live. And if you're not covered by Kela, then there are also private maternity clinics where you can call to.
Okay, so what is Neuvola about then? Well, the term Neuvola actually translates into a guidance center, and it refers to healthcare services that offer prenatal care. And they also monitor the well-being and development of children under the age of 7, as well as their parents. So in Finland, Neuvola is the first place you call when you find out you're pregnant. And it's also the place where you first go for your regular checkups during your pregnancy, and then also with your baby until he or she is 7 years old.
Yeah, maybe we should mention at this point that this is not the place where you go with sick kids. Like, I read the questions every now and then that Neuvola doesn't let you come when the kid is sick, because in many other countries you have this pediatrician who does both the regular checkups for your kid as well as treats your kid when it's sick. But in Finland these are two separate things, and Neuvola is only for the checkups for your healthy child and during pregnancy. So that allows basically the child and pregnancy checkups to happen in a place without sick kids around. And if your child is sick, then you have to call and visit the public healthcare center or a private clinic.
So as you actually mentioned, Neuvola is part of the universal healthcare in Finland, which is completely free for the permanent residents. But internationals, maybe some of our listeners are, who aren't permanent residents or for some other reason are not covered by Kela, they should use the private clinics. And we found that a few of them, at least in Helsinki and Turku, are Felicitas, which is through Mehiläinen, Femeda, Perhearte, and Aava. And they're usually quite pricey, but people who use them would typically have health insurance from their home country, or that would cover their kind of like their services. And they work the same way as the public Neuvola, but the services are just slightly upgraded and maybe a tad more personal.
Yeah, I found it actually quite surprising that there is this whole separate body that monitors your pregnancy and the kids. I was from Germany quite used to having one gynecologist that I would visit ever since my first period started, basically, for regular checkups during the pregnancy and also after birth. Yeah, the same way that I was used to then having a pediatrician for my child as soon as the kid is born, and then going there with the checkups and also being treated with the illness. But yeah, in Finland it doesn't work like that.
No, in Finland it doesn't work like that, but I actually found it quite convenient during pregnancy. I thought it was really nice that there is this one place where I can turn to for anything related to my pregnancy, and they would either help me right away, or then they would redirect me to the right place. So yes, officially it's Neuvola that monitors your pregnancy. It includes 12 visits when you are pregnant, and also 3 visits postpartum if you are a first-time mom. There are fewer visits with the next babies.
I noticed that.
I was so happy about that.
Yeah. I don't know, I only have one so far, so. Yeah, but only 2 of these visits are actually ultrasounds, official ultrasounds. One at around week 12 and the other one at around week 20. And I think this is very common in many other countries as well. But then you are always free to go to a private gynecologist as often as you wish in parallel to Neuvola and have as many ultrasounds as you want. It's just not covered by universal healthcare.
Yeah, I think many women actually go to get this early extra ultrasound, like Varhaisultra in Finnish, a bit after you find out you're pregnant, just to make sure that there's actually something when you have the feeling that you're pregnant or you made a positive test but still want to check how it looks. Because yeah, the first ultrasound that you officially get in Finland is only like a month after you found, or actually 2 months after you found out that you're actually pregnant.
Not if you find out that 3 months, like I did with our first son.
Well,
it was.
No, this is really good.
Not with that, but as we went with both, we went then as well, like as soon as possible, to the ultrasound with the first, and then with the other one when I got pregnant, I also wanted to check early because I didn't want to wait.
Yeah, I think this early ultrasound is in quite many countries. It's part of the public healthcare, or at least it's quite usual that you go and have an ultrasound in the start, at least in Germany, even though there's also only, I think, 3 ultrasounds officially covered by the public healthcare system. They do them quite regularly, depending on which doctor you have and where you live. But there's my sister was pregnant at the same time with me with the first one, and she got a lot more ultrasounds than I did.
I wanted to add actually something that I read that doing ultrasounds is not healthy for the baby. That's why they don't want to do them as often. Of course, from a public healthcare point of view, there's other things that we're going to talk about later, but it's also about the fact that it's not healthy for the baby.
Mm. Yeah, and I actually, one of my nurses said that in Finland they actually have this, like, yeah, they know how to feel from the outside the baby and do the, not that many internal observations, either by ultrasound or then, like other internal checkups, because it's indeed not the most healthy for the baby. Then it also can cause, when you have the internal examination, can cause infections at any point. So
okay, well, let's play this out how it works in Finland. So your period is late and you just peed on a stick.
Yeah, so you realize you're pregnant, most likely, if it's showing positive. You had a roller coaster of emotions, most likely, and then you want to call somewhere. You Google the number and then you call it, and they tell you that, oh, okay, let's book an appointment in a month, and you're like, okay, so don't you want to see me now?
Yeah, my reaction was actually, what? Don't you want to see me right now? This is big news to me. Anyways, but yes, the first Neuvola appointment in Finland is typically between the weeks 8 to 10, so it can definitely take up to a month until your first Neuvola appointment if you figure out you're pregnant very early on.
Yeah, so if we summarize just a little bit what we talked about, so the first place you should call when you find out you're pregnant is Neuvola, which is the maternity clinic. So public or private, depends on your healthcare coverage. And if you want to have an early ultrasound before the 12th week ultrasound, then you should also call your gynecologist or a private clinic or private Neuvola. And there is for sure exceptions to this. For example, if you're going maybe through fertility treatments on the public side, then your early ultrasound is covered by the universal healthcare, though it's still not part of Neuvola. But it's done at the hospital where you're doing the treatments.
Yeah, and to add that, the Neuvola visits can also vary from city to city and from district to district even. So like when they are scheduled or how many you get or what kind, or like what they include, is a little bit different depending on where you live. So that's probably also good to know, and you can check that then with your Neuvola.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now let's talk a bit about our expectations and how it all played out in reality.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned above, my expectations were like that I would be visiting an obstetrician and get internal examinations every time, and then in the end the CTG and ultrasounds all the way through. And well, little did I know.
Yeah, it was actually really similar for me. And when I found out that that here you don't see a doctor during your pregnancy, really, or not the same doctor, that even during birth you don't have a doctor present, it was really weird because, you know, when you watch movies, I don't have any other like comparison into movies because my friends haven't had kids yet, so, or before me. Yeah, you just expect the doctor to be there along the way. And first I was a bit freaked out because doctors know what they're doing. But I have to say, now, a few years later and two pregnancies and births later, I really love the system here. And I think it's really much more personal in that way, even though it's not as personal as people would want it to be. But yeah, it totally exceeded my expectations, but in a different way.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I knew that in Finland, it's not a doctor you visit for a regular checkup. But I definitely thought it would be at least a midwife. And I expected to visit a doctor at least a little bit more often than I did. So in that sense, it was a little disappointing to me.
Yeah, so overall, there's three visits with doctors, which include an internal examination. And midwives you see twice, which would be during the two ultrasounds that you get at weeks 12 and 20. But the person that you see most for your regular checkups at Neuvola is a terveydenhoitaja, which is a public health nurse, so not a doctor or a midwife.
Yeah, actually, I didn't know about their educational background until a bit later. And I had decided to do it all in Finnish already in my first pregnancy when I was in Finland for like 4 years and I didn't really speak much yet. So I think... some of the information was probably lost in translation somewhere.
Well, yeah, a public health nurse has a bit of a different education than a regular nurse. And you can find public health nurses also in schools and workplaces.
Mm. Well, to me, not seeing a doctor on a regular basis, as I mentioned, was a little disappointing. But I still trusted that it must be sufficient. I was kind of just trying to be very rational, thinking of the big picture, you know, going through all the stats in my head. Giving birth in Finland is really safe, and child mortality is one of the lowest in the world. So the system must work well, right? Even though it feels a little inadequate.
Is this how your voice sounds in your head?
Yeah, this is how my voice sounds in my head.
Cute.
So when thinking about it from a public healthcare perspective, I think it totally makes sense that you don't see a doctor every time, just like the first ultrasound being only at 12 weeks. Not seeing a doctor, first of all, because actually the doctors don't even know as much in some certain things as much as the midwives do.
Or the public health nurses.
Or the public health nurses, because they're specialized in that.
Oh.
But anyway, when it comes to the ultrasound, I can totally understand, because if we're clear, I mean, in normal cases, they can't do much before 12 weeks. So even if something goes wrong, well, unfortunately, it goes wrong. But it won't save your baby if you have an ultrasound at 7 weeks or 8 weeks. It will make it maybe easier for people. It's really hard to talk about these kind of things, but from a public healthcare perspective, it just doesn't make sense. And it's not just not profitable, but it doesn't make medically sense.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think still for some reasons you would probably want an early ultrasound, like just to make sure that there is actually something. I agree that from the medical point of view, it maybe doesn't make so much sense, but the mental factor is there when it comes to the early ultrasound, and that's why I think many women go to this early extra ultrasound.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't have waited much longer. For me, it was really important that I see that there is something there and everything is fine. So I think that there is definitely this mental factor. And also with doctors, I feel like there is a trust issue in a way.
Yeah, it's really funny because, like I said before having these two pregnancies here in Finland and not seeing a doctor, I felt really kind of like much more trusting towards doctors.
Mm.
But my position on that changed really 180 degrees, because I don't think that you have to be a doctor to know what you're doing. when it comes to medical things. I had two great experiences with midwives, so I don't need a doctor.
Yeah, and I think the nurses in Nevala, they are educated especially for that, like they
exactly
specialize in this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I also in the first pregnancy it was weird, but then in the second one I already felt a lot better. It's just what you're used to when you come from a country where actually the doctors are in the hierarchy, like super high and respected, and it feels strange to just see a nurse. But from my perspective, at least, I found them all quite knowing what they're doing.
Mm. Well, yeah, a lot of people abroad are surprised when I tell them that we barely see a doctor during pregnancy. So I will never forget this one time when I visited a doctor in Italy. My partner and I spent a month in Italy when I was already extremely pregnant. Oh, those amazing times when we still travel. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't even know what that means anymore.
Me neither. But anyway, yeah, that actually happened. We spent a month in Italy and I had to visit a doctor there. So he was asking me something like, is it an actual doctor or is it a midwife that you go to for your regular checkups in Finland? And I was like, neither. I will never ever forget his expression when I told him that in Finland we actually visit a nurse.
I love that story.
Yeah. But anyway, I also actually had a bit of a negative expectation about Nevala visits that at least for me then turned out not to be true, and I'm really happy about it. I had this immense fear regarding Nevala, or let's say the entire Finnish public healthcare system in general.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know. I think some people may share this fear with me.
Yeah, I definitely share the fear, or not fear, but like, let's say a slightly negative attitude towards public Finnish healthcare.
Yeah, I mean,
excluding Nevala, but
yeah. So I thought, I just thought that it was very impersonal and sort of a conveyor belt system, and I just really didn't want that in my pregnancy. And I used to live in Vienna and Abu Dhabi, and in both places, I had just one GP or a specialist who I would visit, and so I kind of just wanted one doctor throughout my visits, you know, during my pregnancy.
And you got one nurse.
Exactly, yeah. Little did I know, I wouldn't even be seeing a real doctor or even a midwife. But yeah, so I just didn't want that to happen to me. And I even called a private Nevala Femeda when I found out I was pregnant, because I was so afraid of like not seeing, you know, just one person and always having a different person in front of me. And eventually I ended up going to the public Nevala, and I requested when I called there, I said, it's really important for me that I always see one person, and they actually made it happen. And I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, because I can't even count the amount of nurses I have seen. I feel like I know whole Nevala, even though like with my first one, I didn't know pretty much anything. As I said, quite a lot was probably lost in translation. And I saw the same one a couple of times, and then she was on holiday because it was Christmas. And then after that, I saw someone else, and then she gave me the appointments for her, but then she went on maternity leave, and then I was again with someone else. And I don't know, they. And then for my second one, I actually said that it would be nice to see always the same person, but it was actually meant to be also the same one that sees us after the birth. But even that didn't happen. Like, we have seen her maybe a handful of times, and the other times it's someone else. So,
I actually had a similar experience. We also just see whichever nurse is available. But nowadays, I'm like, oh, it's fine. They always ask me when I call there, oh, who is your nurse? And I'm like, whoever is free first.
I don't even know who's my nurse.
Yeah.
Well, that is what I was afraid of. And but yeah, I'm happy that it didn't happen with me.
Yeah, so to summarize again a little bit, so what we just talked about and our expectations of Nevala was the biggest one, that we would see a doctor more often. What else? Maybe early ultrasound, seeing always the same nurse?
Yeah, pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Nothing close to what I expected, but I got used to the system quite fast. And actually, I found it nice now that we see different people who have different perspective also in Nevala, because if you see always the first one, always the same one, you get always the same perspective. So I think it was just a shock of it being so
different.
That
I
disliked it at first.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. But what about your first visit to Neuvola? How did that go?
I don't know. I really don't know what I was expecting of my first visit to Neuvola, but all I know, it was nothing what I expected.
Again, same here. I didn't also have any expectations, really. I can't, if I'm honest, I can't even remember, even though it was just like 3.5 years ago or a bit over 3 years ago, but I can't remember anymore what I was expecting from it. But I just thought that we would, maybe that we would like look at the baby. Like as ultrasound, or I don't know, meet the doctor. All these things that will never happen.
Yeah. No, basically you just talk.
Yeah,
my first visit was more than 5 years ago, but I remember it as it was yesterday. I had this yellow sticky note with all the words translated to Finnish that I wanted to talk about. And the woman even suggested that we could speak English, but I was so traumatized by my first phone call when they didn't speak any English that I thought, no, let's just do it in Finnish, it's fine. And I learned actually a lot, just as a tip.
That was very brave.
Yeah. If you ever want to improve your Finnish very fast, then do it in Finnish. And
get pregnant.
But the talking, like, there was pretty much nothing else.
Yeah, I think the first visit is just to explain to you what is going to happen. They give you the timetable, you know, of all the visits. They explain to you when you're going to get your ultrasounds. They give you some pamphlets, you know, information about different places you can go, like the physiotherapy and then the pregnancy preparation courses. Mm-hmm. And then they give you these papers to fill out that you need to bring back to the next visit.
Is it the one with the awkward questions?
Absolutely.
How much you smoke and how much you drink?
We had to do that there. We did that there straight away.
Really?
Yeah, and then she scored us. Like, we had to...
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, different points for different questions. And then, for example, if you drink, you get, like, I don't know, 2 points or whatever. How often, depending how often you drink and so on. And then, in the end, like... I can remember that my partner had, like, he was on the limit.
Well, my partner never came. They did that with the partner as well?
Yeah, the partner had
okay.
to do it as well. Yeah.
Actually, they did, now that you're saying that, they did ask us about drinking and
smoking
there.
Yeah.
But then I think they also gave some papers to fill out regarding your expectations about this pregnancy. And it was really funny because then when we came back the next time, we had completely different expectations with my partner. I was, like, scared of everything, you know. The first question, I think, was, how do you feel about, how this pregnancy is going to go? And obviously, I was, like, really scared. I'm going to talk about my birth fear in future episodes. But anyways, my partner was so optimistic. Everything's going to be fine, you know.
So natural.
It's easy for them to talk like that.
Yeah, so it was really funny because we actually had very different responses. And then we had to talk about them in the next visit.
I can't remember that paper. I'm not sure that we ever did something like that.
Well, they probably gave up on me already when I ended up there in my first appointment with my poor Finnish all by myself.
But I can remember that for us, they were also telling about, like, the paternity things, like some paperwork that we had to fill out later on in pregnancy, because as we're not married, those things are kind of, like, different.
I think
showed us some papers, and that she said we have to file these papers, like, later on in the pregnancy. But we got some, like, information about this.
First visit actually was the longest visit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
And they take the blood pressure, you do the urine test, and
all on your own.
Well, actually, in my Neuvola and Tampere, they did it. And then when we moved to Espoo, we moved to Espoo, and I'm going to the one in Matinkylä in Iso-Omena. And I first visited there. I just took the number and waited for the nurse there. And then I came in and she was like, so what's your blood pressure? And I'm like, aren't you measuring this now? And no, we are here at the station for this and this and this. So, yeah.
Yeah, so here blood pressure, weight, and peeing on
pH.
A stick for the protein and glucose. And
I actually wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I'm so used to self-service in Finland that this only made sense.
It's like getting your beer.
Exactly. Getting your pizza at a restaurant from the counter.
But yeah, to summarize then, the discussion of the first time at Neuvola, so... They provide you with all the information that you'll need, so the timetable for the visits, procedures, and how things work, when you come to Neovala, what will happen next during your visits, some resources on pregnancy info and maybe some family help, food restrictions.
Ooh,
food
yeah.
restrictions. Let's talk about them next.
Yeah, so the food restrictions, that's always a hot topic regarding being pregnant in Finland.
Yes, very hot.
Yeah, we got on the first Neovala visit this very, very long list of things that you shouldn't eat while you're pregnant, or drink, or smoke, and so on. And for me, it was really, like, I had no idea that I shouldn't drink, like, that I shouldn't...
That you shouldn't drink? You really didn't know that you shouldn't drink?
That's the one thing that I knew. No drinking, no smoking, but I have to say, with all the food things, I really didn't know that I shouldn't eat, I don't know, salami or ham and all kinds of other things. So it was really like a wow factor for me when I saw the list.
I knew
actually,
salmon.
No, but wait, like, I actually, related to what you just said, I thought that it was really weird that they're giving you the food recommendations for food restrictions on the first Neovala appointment. And that's already that 1 month after you find out you're pregnant. So, and especially since you said you found out you're pregnant like 3 months,
into
your pregnancy. So
yeah.
Isn't it crazy that that's the first time they tell
is.
You?
Oh, it is. But then on the other
they
hand...
They should
send
you an email beforehand. Okay, I guess I was... Yeah.
But I think nowadays people Google. Of course, I Googled. I can remember when we were in Greece when I got to know that I'm pregnant with our first. And I straight away Googled like... pregnancy and like these kind of things, and straight away I saw, okay, I've been eating like all these cheeses and hams and stuff here that I shouldn't have. And yeah, I had only one drink during that 3 months, so luckily lucky for the kids.
I also Googled, of course, because I got the list in Finnish, and then I Googled the German one, thinking that it would be the same, you know. But actually it's not, and in the end I had a even longer list, because there's different things on the German list what not to eat and on the Finnish one. Well, and actually one thing that I wanted to point out here, because the cheese thing, I got to know only when I actually asked in the supermarket, because it says on the list that soft cheeses you should avoid. But actually, it's more about the pasteurized cheeses or like unpasteurized cheeses that you should avoid. And in the supermarket, I went for one of my favorite hard cheeses, the Appenzeller. And then I asked the guy there in Prisma, in the cheese section, if there's any soft cheese that I could eat, because I really love soft cheese. And he said that yeah, it's actually not about soft or hard cheese; it's about the pasteurization. And that this hard cheese that I picked, he would not recommend, because this is not pasteurized. And I'm like, okay, good, I asked. So that's one thing to actually check out in the...
Well, I have things to say about this. But before I come back to the cheese thing, let's just go through the things that are universally agreed on that people shouldn't eat. Or drink, yeah, okay, no alcohol. Well, that's not even true. Like I said, I was 1 month in Italy when I was pregnant, and I visited a few doctors, and in fact, both told me that it is fine to drink just a little. One of them joked, like, don't drink the entire bottle. He was joking, for sure. But
hopefully.
Yeah, no, but still, because every time we went to a restaurant, there would be a waiter trying to pour me some wine, and I was always saying, like, no, thank you. And they're like, oh, un poco. And I'm like, no poco. So that's why I asked a doctor, and I was surprised to find out that, in fact, they didn't prohibit it. They didn't say you can't drink at all. Anyways, but coming back to that soft cheese issue, so... Also, when I was still pregnant in 2019, the recommendation was that you're not allowed to have even pasteurized soft cheese. And that for me was a major problem, because my favorite cheese is soft goat cheese. So I tried to find all kind of information and ask my friends from abroad if they eat soft cheese or not. And everybody said yes. And fortunately, this French friend of mine then sent me this website, French website link, where you can write the name of any cheese and it will tell you if you can eat it or not during pregnancy. So I was so happy
That's awesome. We need to link
that. Yeah, we will definitely link this one.
I don't speak French, but I learned enough to use this website. It was my savior. But then at the end of my pregnancy, the recommendation actually changed in Finland, and nowadays it says, no unpasteurized cheese. So you can have soft cheese that is pasteurized
as much as you want to.
As much as you want, don't worry.
But I have actually a question for Rabea, because you have two kids as well. Did you do anything different with the second pregnancy, like this food restriction regarding?
Well, I think I knew that I had the same thing as Katja, that for the things that I really liked, I started to research a little bit of what exactly is behind that rule. For salami, for example, and it's the same case as with the cheese. There is some that is no-go, and then there's other, depending on how they are produced, that you can eat. So I did all that research during my first pregnancy, so for the second one, I didn't know what was okay and what not, so I didn't really have to think about it so much anymore.
Okay, yeah, for me it was a bit different. I would say, like, with the first one, I was really religiously following the list. And I did Google a bit about it, but I didn't dare to eat anything what wasn't. I can remember one of the things that I changed for the second one was mayonnaise. And these kind of cream cheeses and those kind of things. I can remember that in the first one I was like, oh my god, it can't have anywhere like in the dressing of the salad when I go out and eat or something like that. And with the second one I was much more relaxed. Like these main things like raw meat, raw fish, alcohol, of course, like, and these type of things I didn't eat and drink, but the rest, I was a bit softer on myself.
I hear that very often, that with the second one, people are getting softer. What do you think about ginger? Because, you
I
know, in Finland, you're not supposed to have ginger.
Yeah, because it induces labor.
Yeah, I don't like ginger, so I don't have... It's
but
the same with like, lakritz.
I used it a lot in the end of the pregnancy. When I wanted the baby to come, I started drinking ginger tea.
Because just a friend of mine is pregnant. She lives in Spain, and she just had a visit to a doctor, and she's having a really bad time, like, also vomiting and everything. So he recommended her... ginger. He's like, go get some ginger pills. And it's funny, she's like, well, aren't they not allowed in Finland?
Yeah, depends probably a little bit on the amount also. And
maybe,
yeah,
also,
but in Finland
the...
I know people are like, no ginger anywhere, not
but
even
maybe
a little...
maybe it also depends on the phase of the pregnancy, because I know that some things you can maybe have in the beginning, but then later on you shouldn't. Maybe something like that with ginger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And herbal teas, did you drink?
In the end, I used then some, like, the...
I'm such a bad drinker. I overall just prefer to drink, like, water and hot chocolate, so I could drink both.
Yeah. I used the raspberry leaf tea in the end. Like, I drank liters of that trying to induce the paper.
You really wanted it out.
I really wanted them out.
Everybody wants it out.
So one last thing before we end this episode is something to consider when you get pregnant, and it's informing your employer about your pregnancy. In fact, in Finland, you don't have to do it up until very late, so officially you don't have to inform your employer of being pregnant until 2 months before you're actually planning to take maternity leave.
Yeah, in practice, this is obviously a bit difficult if your belly grows and everybody can see it. But I actually just let them know 2 months before, because I had just started, fun fact, I had just started a new job the day after I got to know I'm pregnant. So, I was like, I'm not going to go there and be like, yeah, hi, I'm pregnant. It's my first day. Yeah, so I tried to keep it a secret as long as I could, even though it's not even necessary in Finland, but I just felt a bit, like, awkward. But yeah, so I let them know 2 months before, but I was working a lot from home and from out of office, so it was a bit easier.
Yeah, so no one noticed that you're pregnant?
Well, my team is in Oulu, so in the north of Finland, and I'm in Helsinki, so we usually just do things online. But the few times when I went there, nobody said anything. And later on, I got to know from my only women colleague that she knew that I was pregnant, that she saw it on me, and she has two kids of her own. But my male colleagues and my supervisor, they were like, okay. Just thought that I got a bit fat.
Yeah, actually, I think no one would have noticed for me. I was working in this like office building and in the cafeteria where we went every day and we talked with the staff there every day. On the day that I went on maternity leave, my last lunch there, they were like, "Oh, are you pregnant?" Yeah, I'm going maternity leave today. Good, you noticed.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I think it was also the same. First of all, I didn't show for a very long time, and then after that, I think people just are so polite, they don't want to ask or anything. And then when I'm like, okay, bye, I'm going to see you, I don't know, in 2 years. And they're like, oh, what? You're leaving for maternity leave? Oh, congratulations.
No, I was huge.
Yeah.
I had a huge stomach. You couldn't not see it.
Yeah. Well, but also, for example, those Neola visits, you can actually use working hours to go to Neola. But if you want to do that, you have to inform your employer in advance of those visits. So of course, in this case, you also would have to inform your employer of being pregnant if you want to use your working hours to go to Neola.
Yeah, and officially pregnancy and maternity leave don't actually have any effect on your position at work, or they're not allowed to have any effect. So you have the same right to trainings and the rest as the rest of the employees. And for a fact, actually, I got promoted while I was on maternity leave. So
that's actually really funny, because that just happened to me. I'm going back to work in a few weeks in the beginning of January, and I had a meeting at work and I got promoted to a much better position in my point of view. So
Thank you.
So it's good to know that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
I was first a bit skeptical about this, like, is this normal?
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah, and otherwise, like, pregnancy in Finland shouldn't be a factor when you're applying for jobs. You actually don't need to tell that you're pregnant. It's not considered to being dishonest. And a recruiter actually doesn't have the right to ask you whether you're pregnant, about your family situations, and they're also not allowed to ask you about the number of children you may already have or anything related to your childcare needs. And also they can't ask you if you're planning to have a kid in future, so.
Yeah, so quite equal. And I really, really like that in Finland, being pregnant doesn't have any effect. And as a woman, you don't need to worry going to job interviews. Mm.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really good being pregnant in Finland.
Yeah.
And that's it for today. As always, we will add all the links to our blog post, so go check it out. And if you have time, we would really appreciate you giving us some feedback on the episode so far. Tune in next time for the first episode of our pregnancy story series, where our guest Jess and I will talk about hyperemesis gravidarum, also known as severe morning sickness. Have a nice week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.